Well, again, I'd like to wish you mothers a happy Mother's Day today. And don't forget to pick up your light as you leave today. Be a light in this dark world. Before I begin the message today, today's message is on a special mother. And we'll finish up with Joseph next week. But I thought I'd do a special Mother's Day message. Before we get into the message, I'd like to read something on motherhood and see if you can relate to it. What my mother taught me. My mother taught me how to appreciate a job well done. If you're going to kill each other, do it outside. I just finished cleaning the house. My mother taught me religion. When I spilled grape juice on the carpet, she instructed, "You better pray that this stain will come out of the carpet." My mother taught me logic from her decisive words, "Because I said so, that's why." My mother taught me foresight. "Make sure you wear clean underwear in case you're in an accident." Okay, we'll figure that one out. My mother taught me irony. "Keep laughing and I'll give you something to cry about." My mother taught me about stamina. "You'll sit here all day until that spinach is finished." My mother taught me about weather. "It looks like a tornado came through your room." My mother taught me about the circle of life. "I brought you in this world and I can take you out of this world." And my mother taught me about anticipation. "Just wait till your father gets home." And my mother taught me about justice. "One day you will have kids, and I hope that they turn out just like you." I don't know if you can relate to that or not. You know, the scriptures give us a lot of beautiful examples of motherhood that we can choose to model after. But I'd like to look in the New Testament book of Matthew, chapter 15, verses 21 to 28. And it's an unusual mother. She is not a Jew. She is a Canaanite mother. But Jesus holds her up as an example. And I call her the mother who just wouldn't give up. And I tell you, what an example that she is. And I'm going to open the passage of Scripture, Matthew chapter 15. I'm going to read verses 21 to 28 today. "And Jesus went out from there and departed into the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, 'Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed.' But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, 'Send her away, for she cries out after us.' But he answered and said, 'I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel.' Then she came and worshipped him, saying, 'Lord, help me.' But he answered and said, 'It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs.' And she said, 'Yes, Lord. Yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table.' Then Jesus answered and said to her, 'O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire.' And her daughter was healed from that very hour." Father, I thank you very much for this woman. I pray that today you would help us to learn about the mother who would not give up. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. She wouldn't give up on her child. Her child was demon-possessed. And I want you to notice that the first thing she did right, she came to the right person. Verse 22. She came to Jesus. Now, she had heard somehow, some way, that Jesus was coming through her area. But you need to know how far her distance was away from grace. To get away from the questioning of the religious leaders, Jesus withdrew from Israel and went north out of the country into the region of Tyre and Sidon. It was the Gentile coastland of Phoenicia. Tyre was 35 miles from Galilee and Sidon was 60 miles. Both of these cities were on the Mediterranean Sea, and there they met a Canaanite woman. Now, the Canaanites were the inhabitants of the land that Joshua was told to go into and possess centuries before. The Canaanites were the enemies of Israel. And the city of Sidon had been the hometown of that famous godly woman by the name of Jezebel. Of course, the Canaanites, many of whose survivors had been driven northward into Phoenicia during the Israelite conquest, were the most morally despised of Israel's enemies in the Old Testament. Matthew's characterization of this woman of Canaan, the Jewish reader would say, wow, she's a bad person. They would be, if they had any racist tendencies at all. She was about as far as you could get from the people of God, a pagan, despised, and to be avoided. But I want you to notice the depth of her suffering. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. Now, we don't have any insight into the scriptures here on how this happened or any of the occurrences here or how she got afflicted along the way. But it was to the point of being beyond human endurance. Now, if you look at other demon possession examples in the scripture, these are some of the things that happened to them. Some of them were sent into violent convulsions, screaming, wild, uncontrollable behavior, various physical ailments, even self-inflicted injuries, and even nakedness. We're not told what symptoms this girl had, but it caused her family, and especially her mother, great suffering. You know, when your child is suffering, you suffer. Isn't that right? Many of you mothers and fathers feel the pain and the suffering when your children. Maybe they have some kind of physical affliction, a cancer, a deformity, some kind of sickness or disability. Maybe they're having a drug problem or alcohol or some kind of behavior or trouble with the law. And how often you would have said, I would take that myself if I could so that my child doesn't have to go through that. I'm speaking to many broken-hearted mothers and fathers this morning, broken to see your children in a serious condition like this woman from Canaan. She knew that she had heard that Jesus was coming through that area and she had to get some help. She noticed the greatness of the Savior. She probably before had tried everything that she could do to get help, going to maybe some of the pagans to try to get rid of this demon. But she came to Jesus and she said simply, have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. Now, she wasn't a Jew, but she acknowledged him as the Messiah, even though she was a Gentile. She came to the right person. Where do you go for help? I had read the story about in 2010. Maybe you remember the Deepwater Horizon oil spill, which was the largest oil spill in history. It was caused by an explosion on the Deepwater Horizon oil rig located in the Gulf of Mexico, approximately 41 miles off of the coast of Louisiana. That oil from that spill leaked for 5 months, coming out, leaking out. I wonder, where do you go to stop the leaking in your life? When things are just not going well, but Jesus is the one you need to go to. He is the healer of bodies, the savior of sinners, the repairer of marriages. He's the great position, and a lot of times God will use our pain to go to Jesus, and that's what this woman did. She came to the right person. But I want you to notice when she did come to Jesus, it wasn't easy. She had to not give in to discouragements. Notice the several obstacles that she had to overcome before she got help for her daughter. She was a Gentile. She was a Canaanite. She was an enemy of Israel. She was a woman. But I want to notice four other obstacles. First of all, there was the obstacle from the silence of Jesus. But he answered her, verse 23, not a word. That's amazing to me. You don't see that happen very often. Jesus just ignoring someone who needed help. Silence. He heard what she said, but he didn't say anything. You ever have that happen to you? It just seems like you pray and you pray and you pray and nothing happens. Matthew 7:7 says, ask and seek and knock. It teaches us persistence in prayer. We find Jesus taught about the parable of the persistent labor. Lend me 3 loaves. And he kept knocking. This woman would not leave them. She kept saying, Lord, have mercy on me, my daughter, my daughter. And the disciples even said, she keeps crying after us. She didn't just take no for an answer. Also, there was the obstacle from the contempt of the disciples in verse 23. Notice what it says there. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, send her away, for she cries out after us. It keeps bothering the disciples. And this was a Gentile woman. So they were getting fed up with her. She kept on begging, please help me, please help me. And they urged Jesus to send her away. Send her away. Have you ever been snubbed by other believers? Maybe you had the wrong color of skin or wore the wrong clothes or came from the wrong side of the tracks. Maybe a church did you this way. It hurts, doesn't it? It hurts when other believers just don't understand and maybe are not compassionate towards your situation. And I've met a lot of people in my ministry who just got hurt somewhere along the line by other believers and they just simply drop out. This woman didn't drop out. Even though the godliest people on earth, the disciples, didn't want to have anything to do with her. But she kept coming and she wouldn't give up. And there's a third obstacle from the hard doctrine that she heard. Jesus finally speaks after he didn't answer her and after the disciples wanted to send her away. Verse 24, but he answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I can't help you because I came first for the Jews. That's a hard verse. As a matter of fact, when Jesus sent out his disciples, he sent them and he told them in Matthew 10:5-6, don't go to the Gentiles, don't go to the Samaritans, go first to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Jesus had come to offer his own people the kingdom promised through David centuries before. Thus, it was inappropriate for him to bring blessing on the Gentiles before it fell on Israel. And there's times when we come up in our own study of the word, in our going to church, we come up to a doctrine of scripture, a Bible principle or a verse that's a little hard to swallow. Eternal punishment is one of those things that the Bible teaches that's not easy. Sexual relations are valid only within the bonds of a husband and wife relationship. The existence of evil in the world. Why does God allow suffering? These things and others in the Bible are difficult for us to grasp. And what do we do? Well, this woman accepted it, but and didn't set herself up as a critic. She responded in verse 25, and it says, she came after Jesus said this hard thing. She came and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. I don't understand this hard doctrine, but please, just help me. You would think that, okay, all right, I'll help you now. But the portrait of this woman's faith is not complete. There was one more obstacle that she had to overcome, and that's the obstacle of the continuous no answer. But he answered her and said, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. Boy, that sounds like an insult to me, doesn't it? Now, the idea here was at a family table, and you got the husband and wife, and you got the kids sitting around the table, and they're eating, and they're enjoying this. And Jesus had already told them that this is for the lost sheep of the house of Israel, the family around the table. And the little dogs would be referred to as the Gentiles that were under the table. And a lot of times the Gentiles were referred to by the Jews as dogs. As you see this family gathering around, the Gentile woman saw herself in this picture that Jesus was giving. Now, those of you who have grandkids a lot of times love to have them over and love to see them. And sometimes when they're very little, you got to put them in a high chair. And we did that when our little grandkids were little. And at that time, we had two little dogs. And they were pugs. And you know where the little dogs had positioned themselves? Right under the high chair. Because that's the good part. Because the kids never kept their food on the table. They would always slosh it off one side or the other, and the dogs were there just ready to enjoy that meal. Well, that's the woman here. She was not a child in the family of Israel sitting around for the choicest morsels of food, but she saw herself as a household dog, a Gentile, eligible to receive the crumbs that might fall from the master's table. She was not wanting to deprive Israel of God's blessings. She was simply asking that some of the blessings be expended to her in her need. Notice what she said in verse 27. Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table. She would not give up on her child. She needed a healing. Notice next we see what happened. She was blessed with a glorious healing in verse 28. Then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Jesus responds to our deepest needs. Jesus appeared in this case to be unconcerned, but this was only a test. It serves as an example for us and the whole world. Jesus cares about our physical pain. Jesus cares about our emotional pain. Jesus cares about our children and their needs. C.S. Lewis said, God whispers in our pleasures, but shouts in our pain. Frank Graff wrote the hymn, Does Jesus Care? He was known as the Sunshine Minister in the Methodist denomination in the churches of the Philadelphia Conference. Frank was widely liked for his cheerful and winsome personality. Unknown to others, however, there were many severe testings in Mr. Graves' life. It was during this time of severe agony and doubt and despondency that he turned to scriptures for comfort. When 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you, it became especially meaningful to him in this time of need. So he wrote the lines of the song, Does Jesus Care, to express the assurance that came to him. Does Jesus care when my heart is pained too deeply for mirth or song, as the burdens press and the cares distress and the way grows weary and long? Does Jesus care when my way is dark with a nameless dread and fear as the daylight fades and the deep night shades? Does he care enough to be near? Does Jesus care when I've said goodbye to the dearest on earth to me? And my sad heart aches till it nearly breaks. Is it aught to him? Does he care? Oh, yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. Jesus responded to our deepest needs. Also, Jesus responds to a humble heart. Have mercy on me. Lord, help me. I'm like the little dog. Just a little crumb from you would be great. She did not try to keep up her appearances. Her pride was gone. That's where we all need to be, broken and humble at the feet of Jesus, saying, I need you, Lord. And Jesus will respond to a broken heart. Also, he responds to undaunting faith. Her faith was great. What a great example of a mother who would not give up on her child. The great preacher Reuben Archer Torrey was a co-worker with D.L. Moody. He became the pastor of Moody Church in Chicago. But in his younger days, he wanted to be a lawyer. His mom was the only believer in the family, prayed for him that he would be saved and that he would grow up to be a minister. He entered Yale University and soon was caught up in the gambling and the drinking and the dancing and the smoking life. He went to chapel, to church, just to keep up an image of being a Christian. Yet at the end of this sophomore year, his worldly life had left him empty. One night he became so despondent and desperate that he decided to commit suicide. He reached for his razor. Back then, they had the real razors, if you know what you mean. Reached for his razor, but instead of cutting his own throat, God arrested him, and Torrey fell on his knees and prayed, God, if you will take away this awful burden, I will be saved, and I will preach. He did, and peace reigned in his soul, and he fell asleep. What brought about this change, Torrey explained. My mother, 427 miles away, was praying and praying that I'd become a minister. I could get past the sermons and the arguments and the churches and the chapels and everything else, but I could not get over my mother's prayers. Mrs. Torrey did not give up, and neither did this Canaanite mother. Some of your children are lost. Don't give up. Some of your children are believers who've dropped out of church. Don't give up. Some of your children are living lives against God's word and completely against biblical values you've patterned. Don't give up. Some of you here have doubts and questions about the Bible. Don't give up. Jesus is real. He cares. And God allowed this woman to be healed. And he will do the same for you. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I want to thank you so much for this mother. An example to all of us to not give up because Jesus does care. I pray, Lord, that now as we transition into the Lord's Supper, that you would help us to think of the cross and what Jesus did for us. In his precious name, amen.